We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Patrick Moore in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, for Just a Minute on the subject that I will give them without hesitating, without deviating from the subject, and without repeating themselves. And of course, as usual, they will try and bend the rules, and I'll try and see if I can interpret them. And we're going to begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Who better to begin any show? Kenneth, a lovely subject for you, how to become celebrated. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Greta Garbo did it by saying she wanted to be alone. Mae West, come up and see me sometime. W.C. Field, my little chickadee, I said stop messing about. And I have become a cult. People have said you are an enormous cult.
Sigmund Freud challenged.
Repetition of enormous of cults.
Yes, as much as you are a cult figure, I don't think we can repeat it, Kenneth. So I agree with Clement's challenge. He gets a point for a correct challenge, and he takes over the subject of how to become celebrated. And there are 38 seconds left, starting now.
I tried very hard to become celebrated. And after 30 years...
Patrick Moore Charles.
Hesitation.
No. I'd say it before. If we get too keen on the hesitations, it does inhibit the game, and I don't think we want that. So, Patrick, I disagree with the challenge. So, Clement gets another point, keeps the subject, 34 seconds, how to become celebrated, starting now.
So I went into Parliament and was totally forgotten by one vote. It was especially significant on Just a Minute, where there was a time when the announcement said Clement Freud, Kenneth Williams and Derek Nimmo in Just a Minute. And it now says Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo.
Derek Nimmo,
the challenge. I don't want to be challenged. I want to talk about this. I know that nobody else is going to do anything about the billing, which used to be so very complimentary and which now is so very degrading and hurtful to me. And if I can be given a few minutes of your valuable time...
Derek Nimmo challenged you twice.
Well, it was repetition the first time.
The repetition of those people. As much as we don't mind repeating those wonderful stars...
But perhaps the booking people would have listened in.
I think you made your point, Kevin.
The Radio Times or someone.
I think you made your point. You are getting paid, are you? There are 15 seconds for you, Derek, to take over the subject of how to become celebrated starting now.
Clement Freud has become celebrated in the most curious circumstances, mainly because he's gloomy, boring, bad-tempered and bearded. He goes through life grumpy, horrid and nasty to everyone that he meets.
Can he bring this challenge?
I don't think anyone calls this sparkling character silly. Nice to me. Great comedy exhibition.
I think you made your point.
Yes.
He doesn't come across like that to you. The audience endorsed your opinion, so you take over the subject, having gained a point for a correct challenge. And there are 4 seconds left, starting now.
Celebrities are often mixed up, of course, with Nick.
No. Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition, of course.
No, you never said, of course. Not before. No, you didn't. So you have half a second on how to become celebrated, Kenneth, starting now.
You do it with a bang.
Kenneth started with a bang, and at the end of the first round has a lead over all the rest. Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? And the subject is My Ambition. And will you tell us something about that? Probably tell us it's to get back and top billing again. In just a minute, starting now.
My Ambition.
Kenneth Williams'
challenge.
Yes. But is it
what about
fair?
All these things about keen challenges before people get started?
It was a challenge, but I'm not going to allow it, because I don't think it's fair right at the beginning.
Why aren't you going to allow it?
All right. It was 1.5 seconds, so...
Well, why didn't you allow it?
I'm going to allow it now.
Come along, it's now apart, come on.
58.5 seconds, My Ambition, starting now.
It is to become chairman of just a minute, so I can oust that great nitwit sitting there. You don't forget my mind, you get my things. My things Patrick Moore. Just now, he said Clement Freud was a delightful, sparkling character. Now he says it's a nitwit. He can't have it both ways.
He's not. I'm sorry, he's saying I'm a nitwit.
No, he's talking about Nicholas Parsons, and he's a proven nitwit.
In that case, I'm bound to say that my challenge was incorrect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Patrick, if you're challenging...
I think you get 2 points for being a nitwit as well.
Patrick, if you're challenging on the fact that... I know, I'll put it to the audience. I'll show you how courageous I am. If you agree with Kenneth Williams, you think I'm a nitwit, will you please cheer for him? And if you disagree... and if you disagree, will you please all boo together now? The booze have it. What was your challenge, Patrick?
I haven't the slightest idea.
No. But actually, he did repeat feelings, and he was deviating. So, Patrick, you have 52 seconds on my ambition, starting now.
My ambition is to get the rules of this game really straight. They seem to deviate every other second, and if only I could sort them out in my own mind, I feel I would do a great deal better and not end up in an ignominious fourth position, as I have no doubt whatsoever I am at the present moment. When Kenneth Williams says that he is a sparkling, admirable character, I would entirely agree.
Kenneth Williams,
I'm afraid of hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that.
Oh,
Kenneth.
Not really.
Yes, definitely.
I would never hesitate in saying that Clement Freud is a sparkling character.
I wouldn't.
No, no. 30 and a half seconds with you, Kenneth. My ambition starting now.
And we will, in my hands, return to that subject and discuss it in a relevant fashion, unlike the ramblings of some of these people they engage. How they ever arrive in this building, I'll never know. As I was saying, my ambition is to take over this game and ensure that dialectic debate.
Derek Nimmer has done.
Ambition of game.
Yes. You said the chairman...
Well, I think that's awfully nitpicking of you, really. I just picking on small little things. It's lame, I mean. Anyone would have allowed that, wouldn't they? They'd been
The laugh then was that Kenneth got completely carried away.
Actually,
kissed Clement Freud. And he had a correct challenge against him. There is 10 and a half seconds, Derek. My ambition starting now.
My ambition is also to be able to kiss the gentleman. To not think all that fungus will give me the greatest of pleasure. He wants to work.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmer was speaking when the whistle went. In the case you've forgotten, whoever does that does get an extra point, and he's now equal in the lead with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, watch out. You haven't held the lead for long, but try and get it back.
Mm.
Patrick Moore is in second place, and Clement Freud is in third place. And Derek Nimmer, your turn to begin. The subject is burglar alarm. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
My son went off to Africa quite recently to sell burglar alarms, and when he got there, he found there wasn't a great demand for them, so he tried to increase trade with a few high-class robberies, which wasn't a very good idea. The insurance company came to see me 3 weeks ago and insisted I install a lot of pads, which apparently would sound off a burglar alarm, by doorways, underneath the window, and finally in front of the fireplace. I said, who are we after? Father Christmas? They said, we I don't think this is necessary for you to argue about it. I was staying in a house in Wiltshire when suddenly one day a man clad in a striped jersey and a black mask starts to climb the drainpipe. Suddenly, the burglar alarm...
Kenneth Williams,
I do think we've gone an awful lot of deviation before we got to any mention of burglar alarm.
Yes, I agree. He went for nearly 10 seconds, in fact, more than 10 seconds, so I agree he...
But you can't...
You see, after what he said about me before, you see how fair I am. I've given it to him. And Kenneth has the subject and a point for a correct challenge and 12 seconds left starting now.
What few citizens know is that the nuisance burglar alarms create can be stopped if you write to your town hall and inform the environmental officer that this appalling...
Kenneth Williams with a good challenge and also speaking when the whistle went has gained more points and is back in the lead again.
Right. This way.
Patrick Moore, will you begin the next round? The subject is absolute gravity. Just a minute, starting now.
Absolute gravity is a conception which is due very largely to the theory of relativity, which, as you know, was introduced many years ago now by a gentleman named Einstein, who published his first papers on the subject way back in 1905. Now, he had, in fact, been a clerk in the patent office of Bern in Switzerland. He had not done very well there. He was not regarded as anything very much in the way of a genius. So when he came along with his idea of absolute gravity, people started to sit up and take notice, which, of course, was very reasonable of them. I was not myself alive at that time. I feel I should have been. I would like to have known him very much. However, he published these reports way back in the early part of his
interest. He published the reports twice.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Patrick... Well, he did publish them twice.
Yes. And if Kenneth Williams had said what you had said in just a minute, he'd have kept going for 60 seconds by now. What speed? Kenneth, there are 27 seconds on absolute gravity with you starting now.
Absolute gravity cannot be discussed, of course, subjectively. It can only be properly discussed objectively.
Patrick Moore.
Repetition of disgust.
That is correct, Patrick.
Very well listened, Patrick. You're doing very
well. 23 seconds. Absolute gravity, Patrick, starting now.
I'm interested to see whether, in fact, absolute gravity is the same for all the participants in this particular panel. For example, I'm looking at Kenneth Williams, Clement Boyd, Derek Nimmo, our chairman.
Derek Nimmo challenged you. No, there wasn't. No. He was going very fast. He always does. 13 seconds with you, Patrick, on absolute gravity, starting now.
If I am accused of going too far...
Clement Freud.
Deviation from his previous speed.
Yes, and it's a good challenge, but it's incorrect within the context of the game. And Kenneth varies his speed all the time. Patrick, you're learning fast. There are 11 seconds on absolute gravity starting now.
Absolute gravity.
Peric Nimmo. And I do agree with that hesitation. On 2 seconds. There are 9 seconds left for absolute gravity. Derek, starting now.
I admire the absolute gravity of judiciary. When you see a high court judge sitting on the bench administering justice to miscreants, you look at him with great...
Well, Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went. He gained that extra point for doing so. He's moved ahead of Patrick Moore, but he's still 1 point behind our leader, who is still Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth... The audience are with you. Some of them are with you more than others. And the subject is with you now to start, and it is Jeremy Bentham. Would you tell us something about him?
Who?
Jeremy. Well, I don't know if it's Bentham or Bentham. I don't know. I know who he is, but Bentham.
Oh,
I believe.
Jeremy Bentham. Yes, I see.
Jeremy Bentham. And to 17-something to 1803, I believe. So will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
I think he's known for the utilitarian philosophy and founded the University College. They keep his skeleton there dressed in his suit. And I think...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, it's not his skeleton. He's stuffed.
Yes. You can't stuff a skeleton, but if you do, it'll fall out.
No, it is not that at all. It is the skeleton with clothes on the skeleton. It is not stuffed, I do assure you. In fact, to do
I'll
that...
I'll put this for the audience.
Show me a turn and have a look at it.
You see, you don't have men stuffed. It just doesn't occur. And, of course, quite a lot of animals, but they don't have men stuffed. You can have your turn.
Oh, shut up. Talk about wanting to be chairman, but then you almost are.
Oh, I was only joking about wanting to be chairman, you great nick. You don't take it seriously, do you?
Take it all seriously, no. Oh, he says everything that you say seriously. Yeah. Ian Messiter, who brought the subject along, himself doesn't know whether he's stuffed or not. But he has informed me there are two people in the audience who do know whether it's a skeleton with clothes on it or whether it is...
They've forgotten.
If they don't know, they've forgotten. And will those two people stand up and tell us, please?
No, they don't know. They've forgotten.
They... Some in the audience have told us it's a skeleton with clothes on it.
Quite correct, you see. Yes, I've been born out.
I don't know who it is. It's probably a friend of Kenneth Williams.
I do.
Whether he has
a clad skeleton or whether he is stuffed, surely can't affect him very much. I mean, I don't suppose he might.
It'll affect the challenge. It will affect the challenge. So it makes Derek's challenge incorrect, and Kenneth keeps the subject, and there are 49 seconds left. Jeremy Bentham, starting now.
Trained as a barrister, he did in fact not practice at the bar, but wrote several books, and took the view that law should be a reforming instrument and not simply maintain the status quo. He said, all actions are right if they accord the great
zookeeper. Derek, remember. I'm sorry,
Mr. Hesitates. No, he was keeping going. He was
Look here,
recalling.
You want to shut your row, you know. Well, over there and do you. I'm on a very difficult subject. I've got to concentrate, ain't I?
Yes,
I know. I've got to concentrate, right?
Yeah, you certainly have, mate. Now get on with it. You've got 20
more
seconds.
Very nice quote about Benson, hasn't he?
Yes, that's
he's ruined it. Yeah. How can I go back on that now?
No, you can.
All actions are right, providing the happiness of the greatest number.
We'll start the clock when you said when all actions are right, and then we'll start the clock, so you won't be repeating yourself.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Fine. So Jeremy Bentham is starting now.
All actions are right when they affect the happiness of the greatest number. I personally don't agree with any of it. I think it's rubbishy. I mean, I wouldn't have.
Clement Freud has challenged
hesitation.
Yes. 20 seconds for you to tell us something about Jeremy Bentham. Clement, starting now.
By a very fortunate coincidence, I have in the audience a colleague who will confirm that Jeremy Bentham was on the last ferry between Walderswick and Southwold.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Could we ask the gentleman to stand up?
And on this occasion, I can tell you it is a relation. Another one was no relation of Kenneth Williams.
Get somebody else to stand up.
That gentleman has stood up. Will you please tell us what you're confirming?
People standing up, all of them.
So George Benson was on the last road between Warwick and Southport on the date of 1812, March the 1st.
You were bribed. Clement, we give you the benefit of the doubt. 11 seconds. Jeremy Bentham starting now.
I mean, yes.
You're starting now. Someone want a challenge?
Jeremy Bentham.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge, yes. Hesitation, I quite agree. There are 9 seconds with you, Kenneth, on Jeremy Bentham starting now. Clement, what?
Hesitation,
absolutely right, Clement. 7.5 seconds. Jeremy Bentham starting
when
now.
When Jeremy Bentham came home to his mother and said, "What is there for dinner?" Old Mrs. Bentham said, "I'm very glad you asked, because for once the butcher was able to give us collared lamb."
Wasn't a ferry in Warblesbrook in 1832 when the poor old man died. And it was his last ferry trip. Clement, you've done jolly well in that round, but you're still in third place, behind Derek Nimmo. And Kenneth is in quite a strong lead now. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is censorship, which I think should be instituted in just a minute. But will you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Censorship is when government or society decides to impose its own views on those of other people. And by and large, I'm against it. I think that all human beings in this world have a perfect right to judge what they can or cannot see.
And
the deviation is leading the general public at large to believe that governments wish to only impose their point of view by censorship, whereas in censorship in time of war, for instance, it's no more imposing point of view than the flight of the moon. It's simply not giving the enemy information about the security of your country.
I agree with what you just said, Kenneth.
Thank
it has
you.
Got nothing to do with what Clement was saying. And he wasn't actually deviating from the subject of censorship, because he was actually talking on that subject, whether you would agree with what he said or not. So there are 41 seconds left, Clement. Censorship starting now.
There's a different kind of censorship which is not unimportant to the security of a nation, which is manifested in reading letters, scripts, scrolls, books, pamphlets, and newspapers, so that the information contained therein will not be of help to the enemy of the country wherein the information is published.
And I think Patrick Moore.
A repetition of information.
Yes, he did say information before. You're quite right, Patrick. Well, listen, 23 seconds, censorship starting now.
Censorship is a very old practice. It goes back to the days of the ancient Greeks, when Sophocles was prevented from propagating his own particular views.
Kenneth Williams,
yes,
I'm afraid.
I can't deny that. Yes, you're quite right, Kenneth. You're absolutely right. I do agree. Yes,
Kenneth Williams, Kenneth, you have 15 seconds. Censorship starting now.
It should be practiced with severity, and anyone publishing their lewd, dirty, rotten, filthy libels should be hanged and drawn and quartered in the marketplace. Cross out a blue pencil and...
I hope there was your cheering Kenneth's invective and not his ideas. You've increased your lead.
Quite right.
You have twice as many points as Patrick Moore, Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmer.
Right. Together.
Yeah.
Not all together, quite. Derek Nimmer, your turn to begin. The subject is successful fibbing. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Successful fibbing is something you really have to practice rather often on this game. You have to pretend, for instance, you want to have...
Clement Freud, a chance.
Have to, twice and
twice. Yes, I'm afraid so, yes.
It's rather mean.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Yeah, but it was correct. So if you're going to be mean, we have to play it that way. 54 and a half seconds, successful fibbing, Clement, starting now.
When the chairman announced just now that Derek Nimmer was second, Kenneth Williams first, and I third, he in fact made a mistake, because I am leading this game by 18 points. And I think if he looks at the end message...
Derek Nimmer's challenged.
Unsuccessful fibbing.
Oh.
We know that he's not leading the game by 18 points. There must be unsuccessful fibbing.
How do you know he's not leading it? That's the trouble, isn't it?
We're trying to get by some of the information you give us.
Therefore, you're quite right. Because you challenged him, his fibbing is unsuccessful. So, good challenge, Derek, and you take over the subject. 42 seconds. Successful fibbing, starting now.
Successful fibbing is to pretend that something has happened which rarely hasn't. And therefore, one can go around and tell the most awful little white lies. My dear friend, Freddie Baring, is the most wonderful successful fibber. I met her one day on the Piccadilly line at 2:30 with Mrs. Chemmel, and the most extraordinary thing happened. She produced out of a big plastic bag that she happened to be carrying at the time a tortoise, and she told me that it wasn't that at all. It was a heffalump, and I knew it wasn't, but there I had to pretend that because her successful fibbing was a...
Patrick Moore challenged just before.
Repetition successful, but I think it's the wrong challenge.
No, I guess
successful fitting.
Yes, successful is on the card,
yes,
so you can't withdraw it. I'm afraid he gets the point for wrong challenge.
I'm afraid
he might. 1 second left. Starting now.
Green turkey.
Well, Gary Nimmo got a lot of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved forward, and he's catching up on Kenneth Williams, who's still our leader. And Patrick Moore, your turn to begin. The subject is popular misconceptions. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
I knew a Spaniard once, a very nice chap. He lived in Barcelona. His name was Concepcion, which, of course, if you like, you can pronounce Conception. He had three daughters. They were extremely pretty, and they were known as the popular misconceptions. Now, all these had... they all had different views on life. The first of them went over, so far as I can remember, just somewhere in the North American continent and became an expert pilot. She was flying over the North Pole of the world, and therefore she did establish that the Earth is not, in fact, flat. There are some people who believe that our planet upon which we live and where we spend all our lives is in fact shaped like a gramophone record, with the central point in the middle, naturally, couldn't there, anywhere else, and possibly a wall of ice all around. Now, misconception successfully managed to disprove this theory. Her second sister was also a misconception, also highly attractive, I may say, and she did not take up a career in the Air Force. She became a naval navigator. She could hardly be anything else, of course, because one does have two entirely different characters in the same family, and this very often happens. Then, quite clearly, one must adopt different careers as she proceeded to do so. On the third occasion, the third misconception, whose name, unfortunately, was Ermintrude. Now, this was a handicap to her throughout her life. If you have a name like that, what can one do? One is bound to be inhibited, and she was terribly inhibited, and I am very much afraid...
I'm sorry, Ian Messiter couldn't find his whistle. And I was trying to find another whistle and bring it over for Patrick to blow it himself. But he certainly blew on very, very well there. You actually kept going, Patrick, for a minute and a half. All about those delightful misconceptions.
Do I earn 2 points, then?
You get 2 points, yes. One for not being interrupted, one for speaking when the whistle should have gone. And
a third point, because I didn't play it.
And a third point, because the others were so kind and let you go on, because they enjoyed it so much. And so we give him 3 for that. And he's now only 1 point there behind Derek Nimmo, who was 3 points behind Kenneth Williams. gentlemen, listeners, I'm sorry for the outburst, but as you see, it was a very popular win. I don't think we're going to be able to repeat it too often. It was most popular with every member of Kenneth Williams' family, some of whom were leaping around the audience. In fact, there was one who bore remarkable resemblance to Kenneth Williams himself. Kenneth, how you retained your composure amongst that tumultuous reception is beyond
natural modesty, and due humility. So,
will you now be even more modest while I just wind up the show and say that we have no more time? It just remains for me to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming into the studio. We hope you've enjoyed it. From all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.